You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. This is Nancy Jones. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the Hollywood 2021 issue of Vanity Fair magazine, which features various stars on the cover. This is the 27th annual Hollywood issue, and this is Vanity Fair Part A. Here's this month's editor's letter from Radhika Jones, editor-in-chief. In the photos, Lakeith Stanfield, cover artist Maurizio Catalan and Pierpaolo Ferrari, and Radhika Jones. The Hollywood issue cover is traditionally a big production, and this year, somewhat incredibly, was no different. From Costa Rica, the renowned conceptual artists Maurizio Catalan and Pierpaolo Ferrari directed 10 photo shoots across 4 continents, using techniques that allowed us to minimize on-set personnel and maximize COVID-19 protocols. It was a feat born of necessity, but suffused with artistic purpose, to demonstrate not just that the show must go on, but that there's joy in its continuance, even in the most surreal and challenging of times. I attended one shoot, which is to say I opened my laptop and logged into 2 separate production sites, one with a view of the set where Sacha Baron Cohen arrived ready to don his cover-worthy tuxedo, one with a view of the virtual monitor, where we captured him dancing with an umbrella, later recreated as a walking stick. It turns out it is possible to channel the buoyant serendipity of a magical photo shoot across 7 time zones if you have the right participants in front of the camera and behind it. We could not have asked for a more talented, transcendent cast of characters than our cover stars this year, and we are so grateful to them for coming along on the journey, for shouldering imaginary boulders and fighting alongside imaginary bears and soaring into the atmosphere on gargoyles and chandeliers. And we raise a glass to Maurizio and Pierpaolo, whose wit and humor carried us forward, and who at every step and in every way answered our challenges with a resounding yes. That's what this year has been about for so many of us, pulling off what we would never have attempted and couldn't have imagined. It has been that way for our cover stars, too, as their work earned them new audiences on new platforms, rose to new creative heights, delved into new emotional depths, and brought catharsis, humor, and gratification. From Sasha to Zendaya to Charlize Theron to Michaela Cole, they have helped push the boundaries of what entertainment can be and the stories it can convey, whether in a theater or on your television or someplace in between. This issue exists to celebrate Hollywood and take measure of its evolution. And on both fronts, we found plenty to talk about. From chief critic Richard Lawson's cover essay about what Spike Lee calls this effed-up year, fact check, true, to Joy Press's rich dive into the trailblazing women filmmakers of the 1970s, whose legacies are more relevant than ever. Anthony Bresnahan talks to Zack Snyder about the untold story of his Justice League, and Alex French and Dan Adler unravel the scandals of Hillsong. A portfolio of rising directors showcase cinema's new wave, and Steve McQueen and Jenny Lumet each offer their vision of this creative moment. Next photos, Dan Levy and Pierpaolo Ferrari, Maya Rudolph, Maurizio Catalan, Ferrari and the Vanity Fair creative team, and Zendaya. Like the cover, this issue is a group endeavor, executed with a level of collaboration that takes on extra meaning and value in a time of isolation. Executive Hollywood editor Jeff Giles and senior Hollywood editor Hilary Bussis lead our team's movie and TV coverage daily and monthly, and their work culminates in this annual issue. Senior West Coast editor Britt Hennemuth defied the space-time continuum to bring together the 10 game-changers for our cover shoot and portfolio, while visuals director Tara Johnson led our most complex production to date. With major contributions from associate visuals producer Michael Kramer, our fashion director Nicole Chapoteau and her team coordinated with special guest stylist Katie Grand to bring a touch of red carpet fantasia to our pages. It's hard to know, still in the midst of it, how we'll remember this long and devastating pandemic year, but it's our bet that among the bright spots will be our memories of the people whose art, creativity, and innovation helped get us through it. Here are some of the contributors to this issue. Dan Adler, American Pastoral. Adler, a staff writer at Vanity Fair, covers arts, culture, crime, and other subjects. Jorge Arevalo, The Warner Wars, The Accidental Gossip Queen. Arevalo, based in Madrid, has been featured in Taschen's 2013 collection, 100 Illustrators. Anthony Bresnikan, on with the show, calling the shots, the justice system. Bresnikan has been covering film, television, and books for more than 20 years and is a special correspondent for Vanity Fair based in Los Angeles. Michael Christopher Brown, calling the shots. Brown is a photographer and author of three monographs, including the upcoming Congo Sunrise, a series of books documenting Eastern Congo, published by DRC. Cassie DaCosta, on with the show, calling the shots. DaCosta, a staff writer at Vanity Fair, covers film and is based in Ojai, California. Katie Grand, on with the show. Veteran stylist and editor Grand styled this issue's cover portfolio. She is the founder of Perfect Magazine. Vanessa Grigoriadis, dial C for con artist. Grigoriadis, a contributing editor for Vanity Fair, is the co-creator with Josh Dean of the podcast Chameleon, Hollywood Con Queen. Gillian Laub, nobody's ingenue. Laub is a photographer and filmmaker based in New York. She has photographed Amanda Seyfried, Celine Dion, and Marc Jacobs, among others, for Vanity Fair. Richard Lawson, on with the show. Lawson, the chief critic at Vanity Fair, reviews film, television, and theater. Jenny Lumet, will woke go up in smoke? Lumet is a screenwriter whose credits include Rachel Getting Married. She is also co-creator of the CBS series Clarice. Josh Dean, dial C for con artist. Dean, a journalist and author, co-founded with Vanessa Grigoriadis and two other partners, the podcast company Campside Media. Johanna Desta, swan song. Desta, a Hollywood writer for Vanity Fair, has reported cover stories on Regina King, Janelle Monáe, and Chadwick Boseman. Tunana Reeve Douay, Dr. Lecter, my name is Clarice Starling. Douay is an author and a recipient of the American Book Award. She is also a lecturer at UCLA with a focus on Black horror and Afrofuturism. Alex French, American Pastoral. French is a Vanity Fair contributing editor. His work has also appeared in GQ, New York, The New York Times Magazine, Wired, and The Atlantic. Betty Gilpin, chasing that Hollywood glow. Gilpin, a three-time Emmy-nominated actress for her role in Glow, will next appear in the upcoming film The Tomorrow War. Steve McQueen, The Glow in the Corner. McQueen is the Academy Award-winning director of 12 Years a Slave. His latest project is a collection of five films entitled Small Acts. Maureen O'Connor, The Accidental Gossip Queen. O'Connor is a journalist and contributing editor at Vanity Fair, covering culture. She is based in New York. Joy Press, Promising Young Women. Press, Vanity Fair's television correspondent, is the author of Stealing the Show, How Women Are Revolutionizing Television. Richard Rushfield, The Warner Wars. Rushfield has previously covered the entertainment industry for the Los Angeles Times and BuzzFeed and is currently the editor-in-chief of the newsletter The Ankler. Dana Scruggs, calling the shots. Scruggs is a photographer and director whose work explores the portrayal of the human form. vanities. Hunter Schafer is making the kind of television she wants to watch, by Brid Hinnemuth, with fashion photos by Ethan James Green. After 2 years trailblazing such runways as Miu Miu and Marc Jacobs, 22-year-old actor, writer, and producer Hunter Schafer landed a starring role on HBO's Euphoria. Playing 17-year-old trans teen Jules Vaughn, Schafer, who in 2016 was a plaintiff in the American Civil Liberties Union lawsuit against North Carolina House Bill 2, which required people to use the restroom associated with the sex they were assigned at birth, brought her own experience to the groundbreaking role. This year, Schafer co-wrote and co-produced a special episode for Euphoria, emerging as a crucial voice in a new era of storytelling. The oldest of four siblings, she was raised in North Carolina by her mother and pastor father and transitioned in high school. She says she fell into acting. It was not in my plan. I was in New York modeling and saving up to go to fashion school. Then Euphoria came along and I decided to go for it. She was enrolled at London's prestigious Central St. Martin's Arts and Design College when she landed the role. We started filming in L.A. the same month I was supposed to start school. I don't think I ever told them that I wasn't coming. The series was nominated for 6 Emmys and won 3. Its visceral depiction of high school life garnered controversy and praise. The young cast launched into a daunting level of exposure. I wasn't expecting to be this vulnerable with such a large group of people. She calls fame a wild thing that has taken some getting used to. The idea for the episode she co-wrote came when Jules, whether or not she was a villain, started trending on Twitter. It pissed us off. We understand Jules' narrative with a care that not everyone had experienced yet. She describes Euphoria creator Sam Levinson, with whom she wrote the episode, as my mentor, my L.A. mother, one of my best friends. Writing and producing the episode, which explores Jules' memories through a therapy session, came naturally. I loved the technicalities of imagining what the room is like, what she's wearing. The episode title, F Anyone Who's Not a Sea Blob, is a layered statement in that everyone has an amoebic or fluid feeling inside of them. It's a matter of whether or not you're tapped into acknowledging it. What's next? There are love stories, particularly for the people in my community, the ways that we move throughout the world that are unique. That's something I really want to make stuff about. Also by Brit Hinnemuth, California Conscience. In the photo, Kelly Sawyer, Petrikoff, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Nora Weinstein. Jessica Alba at a baby-to-baby event. In a year when philanthropy took on increased importance, Kelly Sawyer Petrikoff and Nora Weinstein, co-CEOs of the Los Angeles-based nonprofit Baby to Baby, which distributes such essentials as school supplies and diapers to those in need, have doubled their donations. In 2020, we had a 9-year history with 100 million items, says Weinstein. 50 million of those were given out since COVID. The charity is beloved among Hollywood mothers. Ambassadors and honorees include Gwyneth Paltrow, Amy Adams, Chrissy Teigen, and Jessica Alba, and was the only American nonprofit that Harry and Meghan volunteered with to celebrate their son's first birthday. The founders are aiming higher. With the fire, flood, and pandemic relief efforts, we have huge goals, stresses Petrikoff. What about the next billion items? Righteous Muse, David Duchovny's fourth novel, Truly Like Lightning, published by FSG, follows the family of a religious, polygamous, former stuntman up against an ambitious investment exec bent on acquiring his land. The X-Files star and novelist list his inspirations. American Pastoral by Philip Roth. My ambition was to engage with sweeping American novels of the last 50 years. For me, at the top of that list is American Pastoral, which, because it is so toweringly great, would be the last thing I would read while writing. The Svengoolie Channel, on Saturday nights, I'd watch the Svengoolie program, Schlock Horror, from back in the day, like the two titles that figure in the book, Dr. Jekyll and Sister Hyde, 1971, and the lesbian undead flick, The Vampire Lovers, 1970. Inagata Davida by Iron Butterfly. I was calling the novel's utopian compound Agata Davida because those nonsense syllables contain Edenic hope underneath the song's trance-like, muscular, spinal-tapian darkness. Here's what's trending. Love language. Take a petal from the swoony influences of Roman Holiday, Toulouse-Lautrec Hughes, Tchaikovsky ballets, and the surreal drama of Paolo Roversi's Dream World. In the photo, Elena and Sharon, Paris, 1996, by Paolo Roversi. Birds, the photographer's first U.S. solo museum exhibition, is on view at Dallas Contemporary and features the designs of Comme des Garçons and its founder, Ray Kawakubo. before sunset. Erdim Earring. Chanel Fleur de Printemps Blush and Highlighter Duo. Kate Dress. Fendi Men's Shirt. Dior Rouge Dior Lipstick. Dior Men's Shirt. Tiffany & Company Elsa Peretti Brooch. Simone Rocha Bag. Marciano Top. Giorgio Armani Parfum and Aquazura Shoes. On Beauty, chasing that Hollywood glow. Actors don't just have lines to memorize, they have lines to erase, especially when modern cameras pick up whether a single pore has a sore throat, writes Betty Gilpin, a 3-time Emmy nominee for Glow, who next stars in The Tomorrow War. The self-deprecating product hound reviews 6 that she deems worth their luster, with illustrations of the products by Lauren Tamaki. Augustinus Bader, the face oil. Whenever a makeup artist prepares to put face oil on me, I kindly ask that they not, as every oil makes me break out. Wait, I'm receiving word from my psyche that such confrontation would make me flush the color of liquefied bricks. So instead I say, great, face oil, and quietly panic. My fellow descendants of potato and teacup tribes know the frustration of the skin's contradictions, but this face oil sinks in like I'm an olive-toned, allergy-less mogul. Augustinus Bader is a German brand that fancy people are obsessed with, thanks to his patented TFC8 technology, a blend of amino acids and vitamins said to support the skin's natural repair mechanism, obviously. The oils include babassu, hazelnut, karanha, and pomegranate, and just like that, there go my baby names. That this is making me dewy and plumped and not bumpy and clogged is witchcraft to the highest degree. Dr. Dennis Gross, DRX Bodywear Pro, it's come to this, putting rainbow LED panels on your chest so society deems you fit for a public V-neck. But against all odds, this device involves self-care outside the male gaze or mirror rage. There's still the godsend of red and blue light. Red stimulates collagen, blue murders acne-causing bacteria. In my daily treading water above the pandemic-induced malaise, I threw on some British Office blooper reels and anti-aged my Irish-ass décolleté. Then, using the 14-minute setting for anti-inflammatory pain relief, I wrapped the panel around my anti-M hip for sweet healing. Perplexing, but it works. I was able to walk around my kitchen without sounding like 17 pennies in a blender. My poor ancestors, they went through Ellis Island and decades of hardship so that I might worry about my neck and Getty images. This generational disappointment apologizes and loves this gadget. Kate Somerville, Kateceuticals Resurfacing Overnight Peel. I learned a lot about myself in lockdown. One realization was that I had devoted my life to being a sobbing jester. And you know what people don't need at the end of the world? Let's move on. A more casual observation, I relied on extractions and facials to keep my skin clear. Without them, my skin texture was a rocky beach where a glass blimp had crashed. We can pretend we're poreless doulas who need only rose water, but sometimes your skin needs you to bring in the Robin Wright character in a sleek pencil skirt holding a ray gun. Enter this peel. This formula undoes neglect overnight with glycolic acid, controlled release retinol, and niacinamide, all bands whose basis I slept with, using it like a layer of bleh, fizzed off while I dreamed about my past mistakes. and those would total 8,768,464,576, and Triumph's 4. Suggested uses 3 times per week leading up to a big event. I'm going to look so young for the Zoom Veterinary Choice Awards. Makeup by Mario Master Secret Glow. Another quarantine actor panic. Vital emotional work. I've relied on award-winning makeup artist to sculpt the best version of my face before the internet sees it. Now when I have to FaceTime with Director X or press Outlet Y, all I have is expired Wet n' Wild lipstick from the NSYNC years and a gift bag turquoise mascara. I have gone down the rabbit hole of YouTube makeup tutorials, trying in vain to recreate their Houdini-dom, but this product makes illusion easy. Mario Dedivinovic is Kim Kardashian West makeup artist, and I like to take a big dusty copy of War and Peace and open it dramatically in front of my husband, and then, hidden by said tome, scroll the Makeup by Mario Instagram feed. Yet another thing to confuse with your dental floss and AirPods, the sleek white compact holds the translucent gloss of the gods. Dab it on your eyelids and cheekbones as if a frosty cherub misted you with youth. Joanna Vargas Magic Glow Wand. Those of us with problem skin have all done it, gone in desperation to a facialist that Yelp deems a guru, only to be greeted with irreversible acids, insults about your laugh lines, and troubling opinions on gravity. Mercifully, after one such misadventure, I found Joanna Vargas. She uses gentle botanical-based products and kindness, along with crazy devices to sculpt my face from Pillsbury sadness to angled good morning. In these hermited times, Joanna's glow wand is a little miracle stick. It has settings for puffiness, dullness, fine lines, and congestion. Not to brag, but I have all 4. I use the cool setting, meant to mimic in-spa cryotherapy, with a sheet mask before a Zoom when I have to look like I haven't terror-watched Wolf Blitzer and The Bachelorette until dawn. At night, I use the heat setting and ask if it wants to hear my Chalmers story for the 11th time. The vaccine means friends again, right? DS Pro LED Mask. Speaking from personal darkness, the wait, who is that actor on a red carpet, has a difficult task. We have to craft the lie that we are not a panicked outsider who paid twice her rent to have a team of illusionists erase her years of hard living. The fiction is this. I am the love child of a jet-lagged diamond who had sex with a chrysanthemum. My skin likes to sabotage this facade. Like clockwork, I get breakouts leading up to picture time. The desk mask is the answer, a savior machine eradicating whatever crime is on your visage. There are cheapo versions of light mask, but this is the NASA shit. 770 medical grade, 770 medical grade LEDs with 6 treatment modes. My favorites are the collagen-boosting red light, as genetically I will be playing Grandmother Willow by morning, and blemish-zapping blue light. You will look like C-3PO blackout drunk in West Hollywood, but your skin will say second-grade class president. And on to the gallery, Daisy Shaw Ellis gives us this, Shining Sea, with photograph by Maggie DeMarco and Scott Simler, of a Tiffany & Company ring in sapphire, diamonds, and platinum. Vessel in sterling silver and yellow gold, both from the Tiffany Blue Book collection. After he joined forces with Tiffany & Company in 1956, the late Parisian jeweler Jean Schlumberger paired his fondness for designs inspired by nature with the jewelry titan's profusion of colored stones to dazzling effect. His archive is a veritable menagerie rendered in fine gems. Schlumberger's legacy lives on in this purple sapphire and diamond ring, housed inside a whimsical gold and silver box in the shape of a sea urchin. All beauty, no spines. Fit for a Star. On the heels of her Oscar for the Black Panther costume designs, Ruth E. Carter has outfitted Coming to America. The magic starts in her studio by Keziah Weir, with photographs by Maggie Shannon. Coming to America costume sketch. If Wakanda was the forward-thinking, technologically advanced part of Africa, then Zamunda is the fashion capital. I involved African designers Leduma Nikajikolo, Palesa Makubong. Color scale. I'm always studying color, and I paint when I have time off. Academy Award announcement for Black Panther. Anytime you have black and first in the same sentence, there was a system in place that excluded you. Polaroid with Spike Lee on the set of Do the Right Thing in 1988. When you go back to the same filmmaker every year, like I did for 10 years, people like to call it a shorthand. I feel like it's a longhand in that you know so much. The work, the crux of why we're doing things, the passion behind the story. Doll gifted by costume designer Michelle Cole. Michelle from Blackish gave this to me when I was nominated for Malcolm X. She, Sharon Davis from Watchmen, Francine Jameson Tanchuk from Glory, and I started the Mildred Blunt Scholarship Fund, named after the black woman who did the millinery work in Gone with the Wind. Wacom tablet and displays. I need them all. I can take an illustration and draw on top of it and send it back without using the other monitors. It looks a little crazy, but it's actually very efficient. And that was Ruth E. Carter's desk. Now here's the Proust Questionnaire with an illustration by Risco, Sophia Loren. The Oscar-winning legend and star of The Life Ahead talks whipped cream and self-acceptance. What is your idea of perfect happiness? A plate of fettuccine ragu with my kids. What is your greatest fear? To overcook that plate of fettuccine. What do you dislike most about your appearance? After 86 years, I'm past disliking parts of my appearance. Which living person do you most admire? Kamala Harris. Which historical figure do you most identify with? I was raised in Pozzuoli. I'm not sure I identify with any historical figures. I identify with normal people. I identify with my grandmother. What do you consider the most overrated virtue? Moderation, especially when it comes to desserts. What is the trait you most deplore in yourself? I'm a perfectionist. It's boring. What is your greatest extravagance? I nap after lunch. When and where were you happiest? In the hospital, when my children were born. What do you regard as the lowest depth of misery? Vanity. On what occasion do you lie? When I don't want to hurt feelings. What is your favorite journey? Going to Rome to see my sister, or going to Los Angeles to see my children? Where would you like to live? I like where I live. Which talent would you most like to have? Singing. What is your current state of mind? Serene. What or who is the greatest love of your life? My two children and four grandchildren. What is your favorite occupation? Eating, especially pasta and desserts with whipped cream. What is your greatest regret? That I didn't get married in a white dress. What is it that you most dislike? Gossip. What is the quality you most like in a man? Honesty and humor. What is the quality you most like in a woman? Honesty and courage. How would you like to die? It's bad luck even to think of such things. Who are your favorite writers? Eduardo De Filippo, Alberto Moravia, Romain Gary. Who is your favorite hero of fiction? Madame Rosa. What is your most treasured possession? My memories and my experience. What are your favorite names? Carlo, Eduardo, Lucia, Leonardo, Vittorio, Beatrice. What is your motto? Calma, sangue freddo e fiducia, ne mezzi impiegati. Be calm, stay cool, and trust your means. And that was the Proust Questionnaire with Sophia Loren. This program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. I'm Nancy Jones, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service and broadcasting from its studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Vanity Fair Part A airs via special subchannel receiver on Saturday and Sunday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Vanity Fair Part B airs via special subchannel receiver on Monday and Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Both parts A and B are available as a podcast. Opening and closing music by Calexico. Interval selections by Mark Hoffman.